Hare Krishna. I want to, before I start, express my profound feelings of ecstasy and happiness to see our Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, who has arrived, I believe, yesterday by airplane from Scotland to Crick. Not so directly, indirectly. Yes. He has come yesterday night to give pleasure to our hearts and ears and souls. And we are very glad that you have arrived. And we will be giving programs together also. I heard on Thursday morning, I do hope this is... Let me just look here. Yes, Thursday morning we will have a question and answer session together. By the way, is Dira Mati here? Yeah, is the box ready? Where is it? Aha! See, the Rudy lifts the box. Here you can put all your questions. And we are really dependent on you putting the questions so that the program is lively. When I met yesterday a man, he was for last magical box there. He's a person who is not really practicing Krishna consciousness. He was there as a tourist, and he said, "I so much liked your magical box. The questions were good, and I could see you are so democratic as a movement because you give space so that all necessary questions, even candid questions, or could be asked and answered in an open forum." That was his comment, and I think he will come again for the magical box. Let us not disappoint him. So please strain your brains if there are any questions which you have developed over the year, which is an important question for you, not just an empty question, but it should be a question which is connected with your life. Then please write it down and put it in the box, and we will then draw it most properly and give our best to answer it. I would like to now start with my third lecture. You remember the first lecture was the life of Kula Shikar, King Kula Shikar, and we learned to look through the eyes of Kula Shikar to discover some revelations of Lord Krishna. It was a lecture where the main point was that absorption in the transcendental reality gives us transcendental or spiritual realization. Yesterday, we went to Krishna's dearest devotees, the gopis of Vrindavan, and we were so fortunate as to become a witness to a discussion which the gopis had with Lord Krishna on the subject of love. We heard how Krishna deals with his devotees, how his love, in other words, for the devotees is manifested. And I think we all were very surprised to hear a new aspect of love which we really don't know of in this world. And that is that Krishna has in his mind to increase the devotees' love for him by acting sometimes in a way as to disappear from them and their lives. So we had discussed this. Today's lecture is a very, very interesting, and I found it a coincidence, which Carl Gustav Jung would describe as a synchronicity, that Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, in his seminar on Sri Chaitanya Chandradaya Natakam, spoke of the same subject which I would like to address today. from the point of view of analysts of Sanskrit words. It was very nice. It was. He talked about many things, and I came late, so I only could find this one point: the benediction and the chastisement of a great personality. See, from a great personality, you can get different benefits. These benefits will depend on your disposition of mind. The same holds true from your practice of Krishna consciousness. You can draw in the lifetime which lies ahead of you many different fruits from the movement of Krishna consciousness. You can draw very sweet fruits by your spiritual engagement, but you can also draw sour fruits, bitter fruits, or fruits which taste like bananas. It depends all on your disposition. It is described in Shastra that at the bank of Mother Ganga, there are different trees. They all draw from the same water. But because of their inclination and their natures and their disposition and their motivation is not the right word for a tree. Their biological constitution, I should say, in terms of trees, they develop different fruits from the same water. There may be a fruit tree. Let us give the example of a mango tree, who draws from the Ganga water energy and different things which are there in biochemistry, and he will develop a sweet tasting mango. But there is also a tree, a different tree, a poison tree, who will take the same water and develop the most poisonous of deadly poisons. This is an extreme example, which wants to point out that very, 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 very different results can be obtained from the same practice, from the same activity. And there is one lesson in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where we hear this. In fact, this lesson was arranged by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so that the whole world would be instructed by this very intense lesson. In Antyalila, it says, there are two persons who give evidence of the blessings and the chastisement of a great personality. By these two cases, the whole world is instructed. This is a direct translation from the Bengali. Prabhupada gives a more, let us say, a translation where he really talks by name about these persons. And as I will read to you Prabhupada's rendition of this shloka, you will already start to think many things. Let us hear from Prabhupada the same verse. The verse only explains a principle that two different results can be obtained from a great personality, and we are the whole world is instructed. And now Prabhupada will talk of the persons. Ishvara Puri received the blessings of Madhavendra Puri, whereas Ramachandra Puri received a rebuke from him. Therefore, these two persons are examples of the objects of a great personality's benediction and punishment. Madhavendra Puri instructed the whole world by presenting these two examples. Now within this Leela, which you will soon hear, another very important lesson and principle for our spiritual life is presented, a principle which is so deep and so, let us say, enlivening and enlightening that I became unable to speak when I heard about this 1 year ago. I had for a long time tried to understand a certain spiritual subject and I had failed to do so until this was revealed, and I will talk about this also today. But I would like to now make it easy, give you an easy entrance in the beginning by talking, by narrating to you the Leela, how two personalities got entirely different blessings, you could say, from a great personality, Madhavendra Puri. The scene. The great spiritual giant, teacher, Madhavendra Puri, lies on his deathbed. Amongst Madhavendra Puris were the most luminous personality of his times. They were disciples of him. There's Nitananda, who was considering Madhavendra Puri his Shiksha Guru. And there is Advaita Acharya, who was directly instructed by Madhavendra Puri and often visited by him. And there was one third member. Was it Gadadha Pandit Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, who was also a disciple, one really of Madhavendra Puri? Do you remember just now? Sorry? Paramananda Puri. Sorry? Brahmananda Puri. Mm-hmm. This great personality has come to the sunset of his life. He lies on his deathbed, and in ecstatic love of Krishna, where he remembers Srimati Radharani crying out for the Lord of her heart, he says, "Oh, I could not reach you, Krishna. Within my life, I could neither reach you, nor could I reach Mathura. I am dying now without having obtained the real goals of my life." And he is crying. And as he cries, he enters deeper and deeper into most inconceivable states of ecstatic love of Krishna. Finally, he calls out a shloka, a verse, which only three personalities can understand. That is Srimati Radharani, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Madhavendra Puri. No fourth person is able to understand this tremendously high shloka. He calls out, "Ayidina dayadra nata he, matura nata kadava lokshase, hridayam tvat aloka kataram, dhaita brahmyati kim karomyaham." O friend of the poor, O most merciful, O my only master, Master of Mathura, where are you, and will I ever see you? My heart is very restless, and I do not know how I shall continue to live. Will I ever see you again, O most merciful Master of my life? You know, at the time of his death, he sings this song, which in poetry is called the Swan Song. When the swan dies, just before he dies, he will sing a song which is so moving and so beautiful, and which is the result of his life of singing. So Rupa Goswami sang Utkala Valari. Raghunath Das Goswami at the end of his life sang Vilap Kushamanjali. And now Madhavendra Puri sings the song of Radha, who is desiring the association of Krishna. Now, in this most spiritual moment, this most, where angels don't dare to enter this confidential scene, Ramachandra Puri, a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, appears. Ramachandra Puri had a very critical disposition towards devotees in general, and he saw his spiritual master crying in apparent frustration. Apparent, we need the right Croatian word. Nauko. Yeah, it seems to be frustration, but it is really something else. It's ecstatic love. So, Ramachandra Puri thinks, oh, my guru is dying now. I should do some guru seva now. I should help him to be more peaceful at this moment. And he then starts to give his 1 paisa worth of understanding. 1 paisa means a small amount of money. It's not very valuable. And begins to instruct him about Brahman. Guru Maharaj, you are a spiritual soul. you are part of the Brahman. Na sochati na kangshati. Don't lament. And don't show any emotional movements. Just be peaceful. You are Brahman. You are one with God. Nothing to lament, Guru Maharaj. Madhavendra Puri, who's in a total different, much, much, much more exalted spiritual ecstasy than just simple Brahman realization, looks at his disciple in disbelief. And at this moment, his ecstasy manifests. He was just crying for Krishna, and now this fool is instructing him about Brahman, impersonal Brahman realization. He says, "You rascal, get out here immediately. I'm punished by your inauspicious presence. Leave me, go." Ramachandra Puri cannot understand. He was just willing to serve. And in an arrogant way, he leaves his Guru Maharaj. It is said that a great soul sometimes chastises. And as I heard from Krishna Chetra Prabhu, I just came from this one scene in his lecture. It was a synchronicity. Or very, very faithful, sadhakas would say, Krishna's arrangement. The chastisement is also a blessing. But as we will see in this case, it's a little, it's a very intense or sharp blessing. Srila Prabhupada said, and we had a little gathering this morning where we talked about this, that sometimes his own spiritual master would use very strong words, like he would say, damned fool and rascal. And Prabhupada said, this is very good. What was in Prabhupada's mind when he said, this chastisement of a great soul is very good? Most properly, Chanakya Pandit's wisdom saying was in his mind. Chanakya Pandit says, you should, if you, those who you love, your sons and the disciples, should be chastised. They should not be flattered. Because if they are chastised, real benefit is given to them. When they are flattered, not real benefit is given to them. Chastise a son and a disciple, never flatter them. Huh? This is a moral instruction. Because you will help them to grow, this is now my interpretation, you will help them to grow to their potential, to their full potential. Whereas when you flatter them, you might arrest their growth, because they will settle in to a feeling of, it's all right, I have reached already everything else, and so on. You might arrest their continued development. But here, in this case, the chastisement of Madhavendra Puri was really a very sharp chastisement. Ramachandra had made an offense against his spiritual master, Guru Aparad. And when it is said, when someone makes a Guru Aparad, he will develop two fruits on the tree of his life. One is, he will become very attracted to mental speculation. In other words, he will not be able to have a spiritual understanding of reality, of spiritual reality, but only a speculated mental, let me say, a prohibition of truth, some material understanding of the truth. And also, a result of Guru Aparad, and also Vaishnava Aparad, this also holds true for Vaishnava Aparad, is that one will develop a strong attachment to sense gratification, which does not leave the heart despite one's endeavors in sadhana. But it is described that the specific result of Guru Aparad, and this is what we are dealing at the moment with is mental speculation, that is a material understanding of spiritual truth. Ramachandra Puri left the deathbed of his spiritual master, not understanding what just happened to him. He was resentful. He didn't accept the chastisement, which would have helped him tremendously to overcome his material attachments. No, he thought, oh, Madhavendra Puri was all there. He is dying. He is not in his good mind. So, Hare Krishna, I will go to Jagannath Puri, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is staying, and I will give some good instructions to the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He thought like this. So he did the journey to Jagannath Puri, and he was known amongst the devotees of Gauranga Mahaprabhu as a god brother of Ishvara Puri, the spiritual master of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And they gave him a lot of respect. We will hear a little bit later more about Ishvara Puri, but we are now totally with Ramachandra Puri. It will become very intense in a moment. Fasten your seat belts, please. Ramachandra Puri was greeted by Jagadananda Pandit, who served him Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath. Who of you has eaten full Jagannath Mahaprasad? Full, not dry Mahaprasad, but full? Oh, you don't. Those of you who have not yet eaten, you don't know what is Krishna conscious ecstasy. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu commented about this Mahaprasad that the spices are known. The ingredients are known which are used to cook these preparations, but the taste is unknown. What is the reason for this taste? And he said, the only explanation is that the lips of the Lord have directly touched this food, and some of the divine mouth fluid is there in the food so that it tastes so wonderful. So, after Ramachandra Puri had eaten sufficiently, he said to Jagadananda Pandit, "Oh Panditji, there is a lot of left. You sit down now and I will serve you." So he served Jagadananda Pandit. And when Jagadananda Pandit had eaten a decent portion, he wanted to get up, but Ramachandra Puri said, "No, wait. There is more. I have eaten to my full satisfaction. Do you want to offend Jagannath Mahaprasadam and reject it? Take more." And he gave him more. Jagadananda Pandit came over his limitations and he wanted, it's really sufficient. "No, no, 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 no. Don't be offensive to Mahaprasad. Eat more." Now, after Jagadananda Pandit really could not accommodate even one piece of rice more into his belly, he was so purna, so full, Ramachandra got up and said, "You greedy pig. You have eaten so much. Now I have a direct proof for what I have heard before. And that is that the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat too much. Hare Krishna." Jagadananda Pandit, what could he say? It was a respectable senior Vaishnav. He must have thought, but you forced me to eat, and now you criticize me. But he didn't say anything. He humbly paid his obeisances, knowing well the Vaishnav etiquette of honoring the god brother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master. Now, then one day, Ramachandra Puri came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu honored him as a god brother of his spiritual master. And as Mahaprabhu ate his prasadam, Ramachandra Puri watched him to find a fault. But he couldn't find a fault. Not yet. The next morning, fully determined to find a fault, he came to Mahaprabhu and he saw some ants coming over the coming in Puri. And his immediate reaction was, ha, 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 ha. You so-called sannyasi seem to be very attached to sweets. I can see it by scientific analysis. Here are ants, and ants are always there where there are sweets. That is 50% of the truth. When Gaurahari and myself go to Braj and have our tiny effort to please the Lord through an improved sadhana, Gaurahari has to always make new tricks how to save the dates which we have taken along from the ants. He has amazing things like a string which hangs from the roof, and then the dates are there. But before the dates come, the string is extremely wet and unattractive, but still the ants find the dates. Or then he puts a big bowl full of water, and in the bowl a little island, and on the island he puts the preparations, but the ants still come like Vikings in little boats. And here comes the truth. They don't come just for sweets alone. They come for everything. I was in Puri just 2 weeks ago, and I made a scientific analysis of the ants of Puris. I put one highly unattractive nut in the midst of the room and waited. And immediately there was a whole ant boy scout activity finding this unattractive nut. And then soon there was an information service, telecom and everything. And they all came. I think they used the internet to inform the other ants. And then they were all coming to this unattractive little nut and making plans to put it into pieces and put it somewhere and so on. It's, in other words, not true that the presence of ants means there must be sweets. There can be anything. Even a computer and the ants will come. So Ramachandra Puri had developed the high art to find faults where there were absolutely no faults. And my dear devotees, this is the result of his inclination. When you have a fault-finding mentality or a critical mentality, this mentality will go in the heart and it will become reflected from the consciousness into your whole being. Do you know what the greatest gangster of America said on his deathbed? First of all, who was he? Al Capone from Chicago. He said on his deathbed, "I didn't mean to hurt anybody." This person and his mafiosos had killed so many people and had done so many mafioso activities. I'm not an authority on Al Capone, but I believe I saw a movie when I was in before Krishna consciousness. Or was it a book or something? I don't know. He was really Al Capone. But because, you know, this bad quality had taken so much possession of him, he didn't even see any longer that he was a murderer, a gangster, a fool, a rascal, and so on. This is what also happens when you develop the nature of criticizing others, of fault finding. It goes so deep into your consciousness that you can't identify it any longer as something you know, which you might change in your life. You don't recognize it any longer. It's comparable with material consciousness. Someone who is in material consciousness cannot see that he is in material consciousness. It has, so to say, become part of him, and he has not the objective observer position any longer, where he can recognize and see it as such. This is what had happened to Madhavendra Puri. He became such a fault finder, such a criticizer, that he couldn't see Ramachandra Puri. This is what happened to Ramachandra Puri. He couldn't see that he made an offense against his guru. He could not see that he was offensive towards Jagadananda Pandit and now the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He could not see it. He felt it's all right. I'm doing seva. Personal antaranga service. I don't think he said antaranga seva. Antaranga means internal confidential service. He was just blinded by this. And he became so critical. You will now see what blindness means. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, Prabhupada translates bhaya and shok sakocha, means doubt and fear, as apprehensive. And I would like to turn to a native English speaker. What means apprehensive, please? If you become apprehensive, what feelings do you have? Worried? Apprehensive? Apprehension has the sense of expecting something bad. No? So worry, expecting something bad. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu developed apprehension. Maybe apprehensitsky? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Boyasam, yes. He developed boyasam. And he said to his servants, please, from now on, give me less to eat. Here is this criticizer, this critic, who always criticizes. Just let us not give him an opportunity. Only serve me 1/4 of a pot of Jagannath Prasadam. And what you can buy for 25 little corn shells, that amount of vegetables you should serve me. Immediately, Govinda also cut his portion into half, and all the devotees following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cut everything in half. Do you know this? When there is a critic around, then you feel like, oops, if I now do something wrong, he will just get down on me, and then you become totally careful, and you think 50 times before you think something. Sometimes in our Hare Krishna movement, in the name of following all these wonderful instructions, we may create an atmosphere of fear, bhaya, a fear which someone develops that I shouldn't be criticized. And we have to maybe be a little bit careful and isolate the areas where the fear is not helpful for spiritual growth of our movement, of our membership, and so on and so forth. I know for myself, when there is a critic around with green eyes, I think, well, is this melody all right or not? One becomes blocked in a way which may not be necessary. So all the devotees became blocked in their eating. They only ate half of what they used to eat. And they used to come together in groups and say, this sinful man has come here and taken our lives. After 1 week, where Lord Chaitanya had reduced his eating, Ramachandra Puri met him again and noted he looked skinny. Skinny means mirshap. He looked mirshap. Then, because the mood of criticizing had become so much a part of his nature, he was a compulsory critic, you would say, he quoted a Bhagavad Gita verse to Lord Chaitanya. Nyadyashnatopi yogosti nachaikantam anashnata. This is also not good. Eating too less is against the instructions of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, who said, "My dear Arjuna, one cannot perform mystic yoga if he eats more than necessary or needlessly fast, like you do. One cannot become a yogi if he sleeps and dreams too much or if one does not sleep enough. One should eat and enjoy his senses as much as necessary. One should properly endeavor to execute his duties, and one should regulate his sleep and wakefulness." Thus, hear his arrogance. Just hear his arrogance. But please don't die or don't bite into the carpet from anger. "Thus, one can become freed from material pains by executing mystic yoga." He dared to say this to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu bowed down to him and said, "Thank you very much for instructing me for my benefit." Ramachandra Puri heard that all the devotees only ate half. "My dear devotees, let us never ever come into a position where devotees start to fear us so that they eat only half of the prasadam or do some or just feel, I hope he's soon gone. I hope he's soon gone. This person. Oh. Krishna." And then Paramananda Puri came to him, who was to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, I have to now, you know, correct this. And he said, "Gauranga, my god brother Ramachandra Puri is a bad critic. And he does always do two mistakes. He doesn't understand Krishna's instruction to Uddhava, how one should deal with the good and the bad of this world. This instruction I will now repeat to you because it will help you to understand how you can come into a neutral position and stop your own fault finding and criticizing nature when it is inappropriate. I am very happy to share this instruction with all of you because it personally helped me to survive at a very critical time of my spiritual life. The instruction is from the 11th canto, please note down, 20, or it's either 2nd chapter, verse 81, or 28th chapter, verse 1. I have not put the dot here. Here's the shloka. Parasvabhava karmani na prasham sen na garhayet vishvam ekatmakam pashyan prakritya purushena cha. This is how you should view the world. One should see that because of the meeting of material nature and the living entity, is material nature and the living entity, and they meet, the universe is acting. Thus one should neither praise nor criticize the characteristics or activities of others. Do you understand? Things have to happen the way they happen. people have to act the way they act. They are forced. The soul is coming in contact with material nature, and together they will now act according to laws of karma, material laws. It has to happen like this. Would like to give you an example from the computer. When you have a computer and you do some work with the computer, all of a sudden the computer does something because a program has become activated and now acts. There is no point of becoming angry at the computer when it does something which you didn't expect the computer to do, and just take the computer, for instance, and throw it and punish it by throwing it against the wall. You rascal! Because it has to act according to the program which is installed within the computer. It has become now activated, and now it acts the way it acts. This is how the world is. It has to act like this. Karma is activated in certain times. The person with whom you were in love is now turning against you. It's no longer the time for love. It's the time for hatred now. Your health, which once served you when you wanted to go to places, when you wanted to swim at places, has left you. Instead, there's only pain in your stomach as soon as you even think of cold water. It has to happen like this, because the universe acts uniformly. It acts according to plan, according to design, according to a higher purpose. There is no sense, therefore, to either criticize or praise. Just like there is no sense in praising a computer. You did good work, or you did bad work, and criticizing. Now the instruction is, of the two, to neither praise nor criticize. Ramachandra only Puri, Paramananda Puri said, "My god brother only observes one. He never praises anyone, but he criticizes all the time. So he is not a serious spiritualist. He has not understood Krishna's instruction to Uddhava. He is in ignorance." Now Ramachandra Puri developed more and more of the fault-finding mentality. He instructed Krishna, see Krishna Chaitanya, and in a really, you know, the best quote at the wrong time is really not helpful. So he said so many foolish things because he developed more and more into this criticism. I want to now open a wound with hot salt water. I will now talk about you and your criticizing others. It will become a little intense, but very enlightening. My dear devotees, in the Mahabharata, the Udyoga Parva, there are some very helpful instructions how bad on criticism. When you find fault, just because something is not going your way or something is not happening your way, something happens which I'm sure you do not want that it happens to you. Bhishma explains what happens. It is that the so-called fault which you observe outside of you in the behavior or activity or words of the other person comes towards you and enters your heart, like a cobra which enters into a bush, and it sits now there. I have always seen this, that people, for instance, who complain, these
people, they always make war. Bush in his concerts, you know, I'm speaking now of the Pacific movement, which is the anti-militaristic movement. They always say, these politicians and so on, they are so intolerant and so cruel. And by constantly absorbing their mind in the faults of the politicians, the same faults come to them. They become cruel and insensitive. I've seen this also, again, we will talk very honestly and very directly, in the feminist movement. Have you heard about the feminist movement in Yugoslavia? We have. It is there. They may have a right point. Yes, men are sometimes groovy. Men are just scrupulous when they want to get their goals. Men have, that's true, suppressed women and so on. But it doesn't do any good to any individual to think about the true or maybe even interpreted, or that is untrue, false in others. And they, I have noted, I've met feminists, I met them. I have noted very often their heart is as hard as the people they criticize for good reasons or wrong reasons. I'm not saying now about the philosophy. I'm talking now of the difficult struggle between men and women in our material culture. I'm not speaking about this. That is a different subject. I'm speaking about if you occupy your mind with the faults of others, these faults will come into you and you will have the same faults. It's infectious, in other words. Now, on the other side, a wise man who is blasphemed or criticized by a critic gets rid of his own faults if he tolerates and doesn't go into backbiting again, you know, defending. Just let the critic come over you. You're this, you're that, you're this. You're this, you're that, you're this. Tolerate, oh, here's my karma coming. Let it pass through like a bad odor. In French we say c'est un terribly terrible odor. And then, you know, it will go after some time. This is how a wise man reacts to criticism. And you can see this in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activity towards the criticism of Ramachandra Puri. He didn't defend himself. He said, "You're giving me instructions for my benefit." So this is a very deep subject. And my dear devotees, if you can learn it, you will live happily in this world. You will walk about happily. You will sleep happily. If you don't criticize, and in this way don't get the faults of others, and if you, when you are criticized, don't, you know, get your words out and your atom bombs and sing your sweet revenge song and so on, then whatever faults you still have, it will go. And I mean, it's not nice to say, but this is the law of nature. The faults will go to your critic. Hare Krishna. We shouldn't wish this, but this is what happens. Now, the other example, I will come to the end now, is Ishvara Puri. Ishvara Puri was a god brother of Ramachandra Puri, that is, he was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And when Madhavendra Puri came into this situation where he became a little aging, and then went into the pastimes of a disease, Ishvara Puri served him so wonderful. Madhavendra Puri was not moving on his own, and he needed help.
in every activity, like eating and also taking care of the after effects of eating, that is bathroom activities, washing and so on. Ishvara Puri did all this with great love and great affection. And Madhavendra Puri blessed him. May you get Krishna Prema. Because he had the disposition to serve his Guru Maharaj. That was Antaranga Seva, talking also Krishna Katha, reading Krishna Katha to him when he was on the deathbed. Then Ishvara Puri got the blessings from the great soul, not the chastisement. And he got the blessings to obtain Krishna Prema. And these blessings, my dear devotee, were so powerful that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, actually accepted Ishvara Puri as his spiritual master. Please think about this. He must have been the ideal Vaishnav. Most ideal Vaishnava. Because he approached in that way of service. I would like to conclude this presentation by crystalling or taking out the essential lessons which we have taken from this session. Both a mango tree and a poison tree draw water from the same Ganga. In the same way, we can make a decision, or not the same way, we can make a decision whether we want to draw the blessings from the pure devotee, from Srila Prabhupada, from our Guru Maharaj, or from our whole life in Krishna consciousness, or if we want to get the chastisement. There are lots of things to criticize in ISKCON. Ooh, so much. I could start, and you wouldn't believe your ears if I wanted. I have seen many things in the last year. I visited all over the world. I'm no longer naive. Many things. But then we have to say, whenever human beings come together, they bring everything. They bring their stomachs, their minds, their lips, and also their faults and mistakes. It's natural. So, do we want to engage our time in this and get one result? That is, maybe development a material conception of Krishna consciousness, mental speculation, and an irresistible attachment to the objects of our senses? Or do we wish to seek out that place in ISKCON where we can render service? Please think about this formulation. There must be a place where you, with your very specific characteristics and divine gifts which you have obtained, can contribute in service. Maybe some of you is an academic. I've spoken today with one student from the Oxford University. Maybe you can contribute here because you are academically inclined. Maybe some of you is a cook and can cook. Maybe another person is a philosopher who likes to learn philosophy and present it for the benefit of devotees. Maybe your contribution is very simple in that you give your apartment as a possibility for devotional gatherings, where the singing of the Lord's holy name and the reading from the Shastra can take place. Please find out, where is your contribution
which you can give to Krishna consciousness, where you can do something wonderful and amazing, and in this way draw from the Ganga water and develop the sweet mango of Krishna prema, of Krishna consciousness. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, this analogy is given that the fruits of Krishna consciousness are like mangoes without seed and skin. Huh? This is what Mahaprabhu came to bring to us, these fruits of Krishna consciousness, which we can harvest and reap when we have the Ishvarapuri mentality. Thank you very much. I must admit to you, this was a very difficult lecture for me to give. Yesterday I was very excited because it was a very high spiritual subject, Krishna's discussions with the gopis. Today we had a different spice. We heard about Ramachandra Puri. Some of you, I noticed, Kishori, you were becoming really angry when you heard how Ramachandra Puri took the devotees and you know, just forced them to eat more and then criticized them. I think if Kishori would have been there, she would have taken a cooking device and just hit him on the head. Bang! Too much. Kishori was genuinely becoming angry and red in her head. Too much. Hare Krishna. So, yes. So, do you have any questions now? We have a few minutes. There's Ananda Gopal with a question. There is Dalia with a question. And there is Mahaprabhuji with a question. Yes. Ananda Gopal.
So, we found that we have much, much more time to speak about Krishna because we soon realized that we are very quiet when we're together.
Hare Krishna, let us just say, Hare Krishna, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu felt very, hopefully it was all right. Yes, I'm just coming. Yes. Please continue.
So, my question is, what we should do when we see that things are not good? Should we just pretend that we don't see and, you know, that the problem doesn't exist? Or how we should do when we see that something is not good?
Ananda Gopal said when he came to the summer camp, he decided to not criticize with another devotee friend. And soon, as they entered the summer camp, they saw this was a big project. What to do when there are things which are not right? This brings us to a very interesting chapter of how to correct what is wrong. By the way, in our movement, it is important for each member to correct what is not right. If there are mistakes, which are obvious mistakes, and you don't do anything, you may say, this is not my job, then you become implicated in the mistakes. There is a lesson from Chaitanya Charitamrita that a whole village became implicated in the offense which Ramachandra Khan did against Lord Nityananda, because they tolerated the offense against Lord Nityananda. So it's not that with this lecture we want to educate devotees to be you know the three Maimonans? We have them in Croatia, the 30 mind moments. Don't hear anything. Don't see anything. No. I believe if this understanding about criticism would be interpreted in this way, it would be dangerous. When there's something which is not, well, there are so many things, categories of things which are not alright. Ananda Gopal, and I don't think in the short time which we have, I can go through all the categories. I think the most helpful here would be that when it is a real crisis and a senior man has done something or a senior woman to you, you politely have to tell that this is happening now, from the results. Maybe it should be done differently. When it's a crisis, when it's not a crisis and you observe a mistake, then it's best to go to devotees who are respected by that one devotee who does the mistake, and alert them. This is what I see, and maybe to find out, do I see it right, or is this all right, or is it not all right? And then request the devotee, the older devotees, to do something. But at the same time, I want to point out, after having said it's good to correct things, I want to say now also something personal. What I have said up till now is really following the Shastra, the line, very minutely. I want to tell you my personal realization. As some of you have found out, and I have said it, I am by nature a very critical person. Yes, it seems I smile a lot and I try to be kind and polite, but I see many things which get on my nerves. It's just like this. This is a sensitive person. They see many things which others don't see. But as I grow older, I see there is not even a point in pointing these out, because devotees have to grow naturally. They have to maybe be also allowed to make some mistakes, because they don't have a high realization as of yet. They are not yet very deep, and they are a little mladi osabas. Mladi osabas are always mladi osabas, and they should be allowed to be mladi osabas. So if you tell everything, Prabhupada told this to us, his disciples. He said, if I would tell you everything which you should do and not do, you would faint. Hare Krishna. You would faint. Ananda Gopal, you would also faint, by the way. So let us be a little generous. And it's a summer camp, we are a congregational movement. And maybe not all Mushkalskis are dressing properly when they go into the ocean. And maybe not all the Matajis dress decently. After some time, they will dress properly. Bloody osabas. So, Krishna, Krishna. So I have tried to touch upon many things. I think my nature comes forth, and I'm not so. I found out it's better to say Krishna, Krishna, and encourage devotees in Krishna consciousness. But we also need sometimes the
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying everyone has to serve according to his nature. Thank you. We will go back on Sunday to our neighbors, relatives, and they will do whatever they do. Is there a line when we say enough is enough? Or do we have to tolerate and tolerate and tolerate? You will not like this answer, but mostly we are suffering because of our own attachments to suffering, to the present status quo in which we live. When we understand I'm suffering because I allow these people to constantly hurt me, but I need to now do something against it, we will all of a sudden face our own attachments to our material life. And we may not be willing to change our attachments. I have very often seen in situations where suffering is going on, it's a karmic situation where the people are just not willing to break the karmic bondages. But I have seen very, very good examples of devotees who have understood it's not necessary that we inflict pain on each other. Let us find a good situation, a new situation in our lives, whereby which we can separate from that person or that circumstance. For a strong devotee, he can do this. He can break the karmic pattern in which he finds himself by taking full shelter with Krishna and taking also a risk. A devotee who is a weak devotee will not be able to say enough is enough because it's not yet enough. By the laws of karma, he has to get some more purification. I know this is an intense answer, but what to do? Subject matter is really intense. I found out in my life that you do have liberty at every moment in your life to say, this is the border. I'm not going any further. But it means that you may have to go into a new situation where you need to entirely trust Krishna. Such a situation has come for a very nice family who is here on the summer camp. I will not tell the name, obviously. They found out they could not progress in their present situation. And now they go into an entirely new situation, which means to take a little risk. But the husband told me today with his wife, I have faith in Krishna that if we surrender to Krishna, he will take care of us. Krishna. So we come to our last question. I hope it's not so intense. Was it Mahaprabhu? It is answered. Dobro. I know there were other questions, but time is also there. It is 7:10. I would like to thank you very, very much. Please forgive me. This was an intense lecture, I know. And I also didn't make it easy. tomorrow is a lecture, is a very interesting thing. Tomorrow we go to my favorite devotee, maybe, I don't know, Haridas Thakur, and see through the eyes of Haridas Thakur. It has to do with very high spiritual instructions on chanting Hare Krishna. Oh, tomorrow is the best day.